This is Holding On Where I Am Able, written by Hopeless Gemini, read by Mistborn Hero, a Ruby fanwork featuring Blake, Ruby, Wise, and Jang. It is rated for general audiences and tagged for Ruby Needs a Hug, Comes Back Wrong, Weirdness, Just General Weirdness. Summary: It is a quiet night in Bakuya, and Ruby Rose can't sleep. It is a quiet night in Bakuya, which is part of the problem. The thing about living in the shadow of Shade Academy is that it's usually noisy. Regular classes have been halted in the face of the incoming war, so huntsmen and students tend to train for hours into the night and keep everyone in the vicinity awake with them. Ruby used to be one of those huntsmen until Crow forcibly put her on leave to recover, and she's still annoyed about it, so she's taken to sitting on the railing of her balcony and watching the last hours of training routines as a form of spite. Sometimes, when she's too tired to stay up and watch, she'll lie in bed and listen to them instead. Bodies moving, dust cartridges hitting concrete and sand exploding, the occasional pained cry. Sometimes she stares at the moonlight on the wall opposite her bed and waits for sleep to take her, counting the flaring lights like lightning strikes. It is nice. It reminds her of being at Beacon again, waiting for storms to pass. Tonight, though, tonight there is nothing. Ruby lies patiently still on her bed and waits for the noise to begin for hours, counting on the disorder of it all to lull her to sleep. She's been restless all day, impatient. She's found her body moving before she really gives it permission to. Her hands fidgeting with Crescent Rose's unlocking mechanisms in the lulls in conversation where no one is expecting her to feel the silence anymore. If Crow would let her train, it would be a lot easier. But he isn't, so she's stuck with the sounds of battle and a body that can't sleep unless it imagines itself in action. In action, she thinks, watching the moonlight on her wall bleed blue. That isn't dust. That's flickers of the trail winter leaves behind when she flies. A quiet night, then. For once, the training has halted. How am I supposed to sleep now? She asks her ceiling. Predictably, it does not answer. The obvious solution is to get up and move. So, this is what Ruby does. Tentatively, she rises and turns so she can see out her window and down the courtyard below. There are signs of life out there, the unmistakable outline of an Altissian uniform moving along a patrol route. Candlelight flickering in the windows of houses opposite, the moon hanging silently above. It is comforting. It is an image of a world at peace. She can ignore the places where the corners of the picture and slips out of the frame to preserve the idea of it. The Altissian soldier, still in uniform, the remaining fragments of the refugee camp slowly being dismantled in the distance, the shattered moon. But it is not the same. She needs something to do that doesn't involve staring wistfully into the distance and imagining herself fighting. Ruby allows herself a few more seconds of wishful staring before she rolls out of bed. They've been allocated separate rooms in the housing block under shade. More and more buildings like it have been cleared out for refugees to live in. Jang and Blake instantly moved in together, giving up one of their rooms for an older mental couple who hadn't made it out of the camp yet, and Voice is staying with her siblings, so Ruby has a room to herself for the first time in her entire life. This doesn't stop her, of course, from making her way down the common room at the end of her floor. She tends to find Jang and Blake there most nights, Jang working out with some of the gym equipment Coco scored for them on their first week back on Remnant, Blake watching from one of the couches with a look of bemused adoration, but today it is empty, and she can't decide whether it is a good or a bad thing. Good, she thinks, because she needs to be alone right now. She's needed to be alone a lot more than she used to since they got back from the Ever After. It takes time to make your body fit back into the space it left behind. Bad, because as much as she doesn't really want it, she normally needs the social interaction to ground her. It helps her on nights like this, when her brain needs the stimulation to lie still. Jang and Blake are normally pretty good at keeping her busy, keeping her tired, and when that fails, she calls Waze, and the sound of her tired voice through the Skrull speakers is enough to make Ruby tired in sympathy. Ruby walks to the center of the common room and spreads her arms wide, turning in a slow circle. The empty space jumps out in front of her, endless and unchanging. Someone has left a lamp on in one of the buildings opposite, and the yellow smears across the silver-blue moonlight on the floor, drowns the color out. It doesn't inspire any particular strong feelings in her, but she notices it, and notices that she notices it. This is another thing that changed since she came back. Ruby stays attuned to the moon like the tide. Well, there is nothing here to do. Working out has never interested her in the same way it interests Jang. Anyway, Ruby preps her hands on her hips, slowing to a halt, and locates the weapon lockers in the dark. It is beautiful out here at night. It reminds her of the view of the ocean from the beach and patch. Often so viscerally, she finds herself having to stop and breathe at the sight of it all. Moonlight spills over her fingers and between the spaces in her body, filling in the gaps she leaves behind, the light reflecting off water with no one to see it, the sky burning purple over the horizon and her mother's grave. Ruby makes her way outside of the city and climbs dune after dune in the starlight, fingers tapping restlessly against the hilt of crescent rose. It will take a long time to find the right place to start practicing, especially when she is as restless as this. She needs specific conditions. Needs the sense of cold, isolating privacy only the desert can provide. She's contemplating this when she comes to the top of a dune and finds herself looking down at the city. Something must have happened in her walk. She must have circled around following the wind. She wasn't intending to come up here. She wanted to be as far away as possible, so it could be just her and the moon and the sand. Ruby stops in her tracks and takes in the view, tracing her path through the dunes back down at the gate. It seems only fair, really, to take her time to look. Bakua is beautiful at night, the same way Bale and Atlas and Mistral were beautiful. There is a kind of quiet defiance to its presence, spearing up out of the sand. This is, she thinks, what she's fighting for. If only Crow would actually let her train to fight for it. It is more than a little frustrating, so she's been trying not to think about it. The pressure has been getting to all of them recently, not just Ruby and her team, all of them. The entire city is holding its breath waiting for something. There is nothing left to do but fight Grimm and grapple with the sense that there is something else they could be doing, a trick they are missing, a strike they don't know to execute. She understands why he doesn't want her to train. She understands why he is afraid. It is why she hasn't told him the details of what happened in the Ever After Jet. But she can't quite reconcile that, any of that, with the reality of the situation they are in. Well, whatever the case, this isn't the way she was supposed to be headed. She must have gotten turned back around on herself the way up. Ruby turns on her heel, sucking in a deep breath. Crow isn't letting her train, but that doesn't mean she should throw away the opportunity she's found. And less importantly, she still needs to put all this restless energy somewhere. Ruby takes two steps before she stops in her tracks again. It is strange, really. She's been spending all this time trying to figure out what to do with herself that she hasn't thought about the moon. The pull of it settles deep into her stomach as she turns away from the city. Her head tilts up to seek it out in the sky without her permission, drawn by something she can't quite describe, something warm, familiar, gentle. Hello, she says, without quite thinking about it. She isn't sure what she is greeting, really. The moon, the desert, the memory of the ocean. That warmth, maybe. That sense of gentle belonging. The feeling of hands skimming through her hair in time with the wind. Well, whatever it is, it doesn't respond. Ruby looks up at the moon and finds herself wishing it would. There is so much still adrift out there, so much she doesn't understand. There are parts of her that won't click, pieces that spill out of the frame. She wants to know how the moon manages it, foolishly enough. For a moment, she lets herself think she could reach up and touch it if she jumped high enough. Lets herself believe her semblance would take her up and bring her close enough to clasp figments in her hands. Astronomers named them once. She was supposed to learn the names for a class at Signal, but that was so long ago now, and it all seems inconsequential, tangled in thorns. What are you doing? Ruby yelps, whirls around, her hand flies to Clarescent Rose on her side, then drops when Winter gives her a look too tired to be disapproving. Oh, she says, eloquently. Hello. Winter gives her another look. It is then that she realizes where she is, standing on top of the weird, creepy memorial gravestone, except it wasn't quite as creepy in the daylight. Are you trying to achieve something, or should I assume this is a poor attempt at vandalism? It's not a poor attempt, Ruby says before she can stop herself, and it's not a vandalism, I just wanted to see how high you could jump. She blinks. I
didn't even realize I was up here.
Mm-hmm. Winter says disbelievingly.
Well, whatever the case, Wace saw you leaving, so if you wouldn't mind.
Oh. Ruby scrambles down the side of the memorial, grabs the last few inches, and sinks unreasonably far into the sand.
Jess, right. Tell her I was just getting some air. I'm fine. I'm not, like, upset or anything. I won't get lost. I'm not going far.
Winter nods decisively, like that was all she needed to hear.
Right. Well, have fun.
She spares a glance at the memorial Ruby was probably defacing, and then she shoots straight upward in a shower of blue sparks. Ruby watches her until she reaches Bakua and debates whether she should wave. She stays out there for a while longer, checking the memorial for damage or scruff marks. None, thankfully. And then she walks until she finds a relatively flat stretch of sand and pulls out Crescent Rose. Practice drills come easily to her. It's been a long time since it's felt this good to hold a weapon. It hasn't been the same since Beacon, not really, but Ruby has long since tried to get into the habit of not thinking about that. She settles into the rhythm of parrying and slashing, cutting upwards to decapitate imaginary Grim, the old skeleton of a beacon training drill she memorized long before she turned 15. She lets her body move without quite guiding it, losing herself in the sand kicking up into her face and the moon bleeding through her skin. Her hands move efficiently, her body works through blow after blow. Ruby watches it, as though from afar, but it feels good, even if it is distant, and that is the main thing. The ache in her arms disappears as quickly as it comes. She feels Crescent Rose as an extension of her body, the same way she always has. She imagines Winter flying overhead, vaguely confused and circling back over the city to Wace, and it doesn't seem that significant anymore, really. Nothing does. It is nice. Ruby trains until her arms give out, and then she walks back to the city, following her shadow in the moonlight. Her body knows the way to her room. She lets it take her where it needs to go, drowning herself deep in thoughts of moonshine and the outline of a memorial against the sand.
Man, that thing is creepy. Meaningful, deeply so, but creepy. Whoever authorized it had a grim idea of what a tragic memorial was supposed to look like. She keeps seeing it on the horizon and feeling a deep, sickly sense of dread. There is the biggest sense that she should be just a name there, too. That her continued survival is defying the logic of the world, that everyone else has accepted it already. So, why can't she? Needless to say, Ruby feels like a ghost more often than not these days. She crosses an empty street under the glow of the moon, passively counting down the footsteps to her room. The housing block she's been assigned to is tucked away in the city, down in the most inconvenient streets ever. She's learned to count the steps to while away the annoyance of the journey. 17 across the street. 84 down the worst alleyway Remnant has to offer. 14 to the left. 67 along the...
Ruby Rose!
Ruby jolts back into herself, reaching automatically for Crescent Rose. Wace emerges from the shadows in the alleyway, arms folded, hair glowing in the moonlight.
You look pretty tonight, Ruby starts to say, and then she fixes her with a glare that could melt ice.
Where have you been?
She relaxes, dropping her hands back to her sides. That is a simple question.
I went out. Why?
Waze folds her arms, unimpressed. Her gaze tracks from Ruby's face to her hair, windswept, and her weapon, present, damningly so.
What's all this about, Ruby?
Ruby says. Waze can be intense when she's upset. She cares fiercely, that is her thing, and it can be hard to find your way out of the eye of a storm like that when you are thrown into the center. Not that she minds entirely, because it is nice to know that Waze does care.
Well?
She echoes.
Didn't Winter tell you? I just wanted some air.
Waze sighs, pinches the bridge of her nose.
I told her I'd come find you myself.
Ruby spreads her arms wide in a shrug. She catches how it looks in the moonlight spilling through the street, catches the way light casts itself through her fingers and drapes the fold of her shirt in silver.
You found me.
Waze eyes her for a moment, eyes flickering strangely.
I did,
she says, cautiously, slowly.
Are you feeling okay?
Why? She looks at her weirdly again, a different kind of weird look, the kind that makes Ruby feel like Waze can pierce through the truth of her with just her presence.
Your eyes are very silver.
What? Ruby feels self-consciously for her face, as though her fingertips will come away stained. Are they?
Waze nods. Sure, she's blushing furiously.
Ruby fumbles for her scroll and opens up the camera. How embarrassing is it supposed to be to activate your weird laser superpower without anyone else knowing? Because it feels pretty embarrassing. And sure enough, her eyes are glowing. She blinks at her reflection on the screen, tracking the way the silver of their image flickers and dies. It could almost be the moonlight leaking through.
Oh, she says out loud.
Waze takes the scroll from her hands and turns it off decisively.
Well, there is no point in fixating in it right now. Go to bed and we'll have a conversation in the morning.
In the morning? Ruby echoes. What is there to have a conversation about? She winces.
Lots of things. It can wait. Go to bed.
But I can't sleep, Ruby doesn't say. But I don't think I can sleep without all the noise. But I needed something to do with my hands, with my body. I need to be in the moonlight or I think I will die. She nods once, hoping it qualifies as a response.
Good night, then.
Good night, Waze says as Ruby turns away. Her voice sounds soft.
What is this?
An intervention, Waze says, at the same time as Blake announces, a friendly dialogue. Ruby glances between them, unsure of who to look at first. She says slowly. Blake and Waze are too busy staring each other down to notice her obvious confusion, which leaves Junk to fill in the gaps. She steps between the two of them like she's worried they'll both immediately shove her out of the way, and comes to a halt in front of Ruby's bed.
So, listen, she begins, shoving her hands into her pocket. I we've all noticed that, well, Wei's put us up to this, if I'm being honest. Jiang, Wei sarmanishes, maintaining eye contact with Blake. Jiang sighs, dips her head. Yeah, okay, we've all noticed you've been acting a little bit differently, and we wanted to... Struck by the mental image of Wei's and Jiang strong-arming each other into broaching the topic first, Ruby rolls her eyes and cuts her off. If this is about my sleep schedule... Wei stares her gaze away from Blake to throw her hands in exasperation. It's not even about your sleep schedule in the slightest, Ruby. It's not about what you do in your free time. It's about the fact that you're going to walks in the middle of the night and climbing onto memorials. Well, okay, I didn't even realize I had done that at the time, Ruby says indignantly. Really, she isn't sure how she's supposed to react to that. Indignation seems to be the only correct response.
Seriously, though, Blake interjects. Are you okay? You're not. Well, you're acting a little off, and it is worrying us.
That she doesn't have a good response to. Ruby shrugs, raises her hands defensively when Wei raises an eyebrow, and slumps back into her seat when Blake and Jiang give her matching firm looks. This is a practice routine, one she's gotten used to since she came back. They are all worried about her in some sort of weird, united way she can't quite hope to grasp. And still, she never knows what to tell them about it.
And you don't seem to understand that anything is wrong. We don't...
Look, Wei says, pinching the bridge of her nose. We are not angry with you, if that's what you really are worried about. I know I might look like it, but...
But she looks like she's mad at everything all the time, Jiang fills in.
Yes, thank you, exactly. We are getting on your back about it, because we want you to be okay, not just...
She gestures in mid-air, fingers closing around something only she can see.
Not just... functional.
I'm so beyond functional, guys. I'm fine. I was training since Crow wouldn't let me, and it was quiet, and I didn't have anything better to do.
Ruby crosses her arms over her chest this time, deterring the distinctly weird look all three of them throw her way. It would be pretty funny if it weren't directed at her.
Well, I am glad. Wei crosses her arms, mirroring her. But your eyes were glowing, Ruby, and you are leaving the city at night, which, by the way, is a remarkably bad idea.
She waves a hand, giving up her defensive position.
I am a trained huntress. I'm fine. I can go outside without tripping and falling into a grim nest.
Not the point. Blake rolls her eyes, stepping in front of Wei's.
That's not what we are saying. We just want to support you. You went out because you wanted to train, right? Why did Crow stop you?
Because he's worried about me too. Ruby rolls her eyes. Everybody's worried about me. I keep telling you I am fine. Just let me keep going like I've been going and I'll figure it out as I go along. That's what we've been doing anyway, isn't it?
It is. But still, the three of them bristle anonymously. Ruby rolls her eyes again to punctuate the point, figuring she's allowed to be a little more petulant given the circumstances. Fine, whatever. Silence billows out between them. Ruby gives up on looking between them and trying to figure out what they are thinking, what their angle is.
She gives up on trying to look put together and defensive. She just lets herself be stared at and wonders what she's even supposed to say to any of these. "Look," she lands on, "if you're so worried, I'll wake you up next time I can't sleep and we can all train together." Blake and Jank exchange a look that could mean three different things at once. Waze just sighs and pinches the bridge of her nose between her fingers. That's not exactly the reaction she wanted, but it's fine. She's been meaning to ask Jank to come out with her anyway, ever since Crow stopped her from training and Ruby started walking in on her doing exercises in the common room in the middle of the night. The world gets a little more bearable with her big sister there. When Wise's reply comes, it is somewhat muffled by her palm. "You know what? It sounds good." "Group night training," Jank says slowly, without quite breaking Blake's stare. Ruby watches the depth of the expression she makes at her and wonders what it means. "I mean, I can't say I'm opposed, and that way we can figure out what's going on with you, together, as a team, like we're supposed to." "Nothing's going on with me," Ruby says automatically. It comes out slightly more defensive than she had hoped it would, but some things can't be helped. "Uh-huh." Waze props her hands on her hips, giving up on trying to look overwhelmingly disapproving. "Well, whatever the case, it's been a while since we trained as a team."
"What if Winter grabs you out of the sky and carries you back to your room?" Blake offers, painfully sincere.
Moonlight spills through the window in the hallway and stains Jank and Blake's door bright silver blue. Ruby stands in its path and watches her shadow dissolve in the wind as she gathers the courage to knock, hand raised to the door. The light bleeds right through it. Blake and Jank both look at her weirdly when they come to greet her. She supposes it has something to do with the silver eyes. Ruby lifts a hand in greeting, pats Crescent Rose with her other hand. "Hi." They glance at each other, then back at her.
"Hi,"
Blake echoes, winding her fingers around Gamble Shroud's hilt.
"Ready?"
Ruby nods. "You guys?" Jang reaches around Blake's side to pat her shoulder. "We are fine. Let's go get Waze."
"Your eyes are glowing,"
Blake adds, as though that were the natural continuation of a conversation. Ruby doesn't bother reaching up to touch her face to confirm it. She knows. She can feel the cold burn of the light spilling down her cheeks. Stronger than ever, now that there are other people around to see it. "They are," she says, simply. "Her block is in the way. Come on." The end. Thank you for listening. This has been created for Pod Together 2024 in a collaboration between Hopeless Gemini and Mistborn Hero. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.